The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, swinging into the happy hour, Dom. Yeah. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Thank you, Crudy. Thank you, my friend Rich on the board. Thank you, our fair audience. Appreciate you tuning in as well. Join us, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to start this hour talking about the convicted felon that is Donald Trump. And Trump did a very friendly Foxy News interview over the course of the weekend. And it was, I suspect, strategically edited. Because I saw the press conference the man had after the verdict. And it was like a 30-minute rambling on from Trump Tower. I mean,
maybe Fox will release the unedited reel. We can take a look and see what he really says.
Like the real January 6th footage, the stuff everybody's been hiding from the American public.
That's right.
That's what I want to see. Trump unedited. Well, anyways, we've got a little of the edited sound, but this is still pretty troubling stuff, Dom. And Donald Trump is effectively what? Threatening the judge, threatening America, should he get his ass thrown in the keister. So let's play it for the American people, those listening to the greatest radio show ever. Trump, he's reacting to the verdict on the Foxy News Cut 4, I believe.
I'm okay with it. I saw one of my lawyers the other day on television saying, oh, no, you don't want to do that to the president. I said, you don't beg for anything. You just the way it is. I'm not sure the public would stand for it with a
tried house arrest. Or
I think it would be tough for the public to take. You know, at a certain point, there's a breaking point.
A breaking point, Dom. The public would just lose their collective minds if I get thrown in jail. It's an odd point of view.
Well, there's so many things to unpack here, Crudy. When Donald Trump says the public, he means himself. He's talking about his breaking point. He's talking about him not being able to stand for it. Donald Trump doesn't care about anybody or anything else. Everything is always about Donald Trump. So in these kinds of terms, when you hear him talk like that, you can just insert Donald Trump's name there, and that's really what he means. Now, that aside, you know, psychiatry, 5 cents. That aside, breaking point. So what's the implication? Of course, I interpret that as violence, as actual, literal, not figurative violence. Again, perpetrated by Donald Trump and his supporters. He's once again putting the whistle out, stand back and stand by. We've heard the tape before, seen what happens. We know where the road ends.
Dom, Joe Biden's campaign on Monday slammed former President Donald Trump for comments he made in a recent Fox News interview where he suggested there could be a breaking point for his supporters, saying the public would not stand for it if he was put under house arrest. House arrest? At Mar-a-Lago? People are going to lose their minds because you can't leave a luxury resort.
I might lose my mind because that doesn't seem like a whole lot of punishment. You know what I mean? He might be right in that regard. How is that punishment, house arrest? But please continue.
As we played for you fine people in the audience, while saying Trump saying he'd be okay with possible house arrest or even jail time as a sentence, Trump said, I don't think the public would stand for it. I don't think it'd be I think it'd be tough for the public to take at a certain point. There's a breaking point. Now, Biden's campaign called Trump's comments vows of violence.
Yes.
Seems accurate. Consumed by his own rage and thirst for revenge, convicted felon Donald Trump is teeing up political violence, threatening the Constitution, and pitting Americans against one another, according to Biden-Harris spokesperson James Singer in a statement. After the 2020 election, as you may well remember, Trump promoted a rally in D.C. when he tweeted out, "We'll be wild." The House Select Committee on January 6th concluded that Trump's rhetoric in advance of the rally and on the day of the rally contributed to the storming of the Capitol that day. Don't tell Gary that. He threw a peaceful in for good measure. Gary thinks that absolves him of all the
everything, exactly.
All the other incendiary rhetoric up until that. It'd be peaceful. Did you even hear it? What? The Trump campaign, did not respond to ABC News' request for comment. But the Fox News interview over the weekend marked Trump's first sit-down interview since he was found guilty on all 34 felony counts. I just like saying that. I know it's redundant. I know you know our fair audience. I just like saying it. In the New York hush money payments case last week, during the interview, Trump struggled to say whether he'd pursue revenge against his political opponents in his possible second administration, saying he wants to bring the country together, but also repeatedly calling his political opponents evil people.
You want to come together with the evil people.
Here is what he said, It's a really tough question in one way because these are bad people. These people are sick and things are so destructive. Trump said before eventually saying, "My revenge will be my success. And I mean that." Your dad's dead. He's not bailing you out again, Trumpy.
Nice.
But he immediately added, "But it's awfully hard when you see what they've done. These people are so evil. And at the same time, the country can come together." Yes, coming together to celebrate the 34 felony convictions of Donald Trump.
Donald Trump said, "Come together." Therefore, it absolves him of all the breaking point and evil people comments. If you're the megas, you're out, right? It's like asking for forgiveness on Sunday. It absolves you of any sins you may have done, right? And you can start all over again. That's the logic, and that's as deep as it goes for the mega faithful.
Well, this is the 2024 retribution tour, is it not, Don? Trump has repeatedly played with the idea of retribution throughout his 2024 presidential campaign, at times suggesting he could go after his political opponents if he wins back the White House, stoking alarms among critics that a second Trump term could usher in a wave of authoritarian revenge. Other times he has walked back on that sentiment, saying he's not going to have time for retribution because his ultimate retribution is success. That and he'll be busy golfing, I suspect.
Golfing, thank you. I was going to say that. Crudy, a little bit on this as well. Folks, you can join us. Your thoughts on the reactions of the Republicans over the weekend here. 844-967-2789, talk or text. Reuters addresses this as well, kind of lays out a little bit more. Reporting, Trump has vowed to appeal his conviction by the New York jury, which found him guilty of, Crudy, how many? 34 felony counts over the falsifying documents, yada, yada. To succeed on appeal, Trump must demonstrate that Justice Juan Merchan made significant errors overseeing the trial. His lawyers have said they expect to take the case to the Supreme Court on Sunday. Trump, who tried to disqualify Merchan from the case, repeated allegations of bias by the judge and the DA who prosecuted the case. The United States Supreme Court must decide, Trump wrote on social media. So he's pitching it to him, Crudy. Apparently, Trump, according to Reuters, Trump plans to appeal after his July 11 sentencing date, his lawyers say. If an appeal in New York State court proves unsuccessful, he could appeal to the Supreme Court. Trump's attorneys would have to persuade at least 4 of the court's 9 justices to hear the case. And to prevail, Trump would then have to demonstrate that the state prosecution violated his federal constitutional rights and that his legal team followed proper procedures during earlier stages of the legal proceedings. Now, some of the back and forth. Now, Trump used his conviction to step up his fundraising efforts. We know that. In contrast to his comments protesting the 2020 loss to Biden, that followers were followed up by a deadly attack. Ask what Trump supporters would do if he were jailed. Republican National Committee co-chair Lard Trump told CNN, quote, well, they're going to do what they've done from the beginning, which is remain calm and protest at the ballot box on November 5th. There's nothing to do other than make your voices heard loud and clear and speak out against this. Or, you know, as the old man said, a breaking point. Some Trump supporters have hung U.S. flags upside down following the verdict, the inverted flag.
Oh, Alito's been doing that. Well, Mrs. Alito's been doing that for a long time, Dom.
It has been a symbol of distress or protest in America for over 200 years. And this is where you're going to fly it upside down. Now you do it. At least one Democratic lawmaker expressed concern Sunday about the potential for Trump supporters to respond violently to his conviction. His base listens to him. They don't listen to Lara Trump. And this is another dangerous appeal to violence, Democratic U.S. Rep. Adam Schiff told CNN. But U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson, a Trump ally, said any response must be lawful. Yeah, is that what the J6 was too? Quote, we are the rule of law party. Hang on a second. So the speaker just said we are the rule of law party after their nominee just got convicted of 34 felonies.
You know what else the speaker said? And let's slow down for a minute. Speaker Mike MAGA Johnson, right?
Yes.
Over the course of the weekend, he had some other things to say. I'd like to share just a few of his comments, Tom. As Donald Trump reels from his criminal conviction, House Speaker Mike Johnson said the Supreme Court, which is facing congressional scrutiny over two justices' ethics issues, should step in and overturn Trump's guilty verdict.
Yeah.
There's a lot of developments yet to come, but I do believe the Supreme Court should step in, obviously, the Louisiana Republican told Foxy Friends on Friday. I think the justices on the court, I know many of them personally, I think they're deeply concerned about that as we are. So I think they'll set this straight, but it's going to take a while. How does a federal court set things straight in the New York appeal of Donald Trump? Unless you're giving this man immunity against all federal and state crimes, future, present, and past, I don't see how they're getting his ass off the hook. But if Mike Johnson is communicating with the individual justices on the court, can you imagine an Alito or a Gorsuch, Clarence Thomas, at least Jenny for sure? They'd be down for what? Stepping in and creating some constitutional avenue to throw out Trump's conviction. Come back, more devils.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening. 844-967-2789. You can join us, talk or text. Crudy, Mega Mike, the last quote, I want to throw this one out there from Reuters. In talking about the concern of folks like Democratic Representative Adam Schiff, me, perhaps Crudy, about the potential violence that Trump supporters will bestow upon the American people once they hit their quote-unquote breaking point again. Here's what Johnson said on Fox News Sunday. We are the rule of law party. Chaos is not a conservative value. We have to fight back, and we will, with everything in our arsenal, but we do that within the confines of the rule of law. The rule of law. The very rule of law that just convicted your Republican nominee on 34 counts of fraud and interfering with the election, so on and so forth. So you're fine with everything within the rule of law so long as your guy doesn't get convicted of it. Right. Gotcha.
You got a problem with that?
It just seems excessive. And the continual drip, drip, drip of these kinds of things from Donald Trump. Now, I don't know. And the guy literally came out over the weekend and said, well, I never said lock her up.
Trump, you mean?
Trump.
We were there. We've seen him say lock her up. Michael Flynn, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr.
Said it wasn't him. Wasn't me. Gave the Eddie Murphy. Wasn't me. Never said it. Wasn't me. Other people said it. Wasn't me. Well, of course, he did say it. He paused. He'd say it. He'd say it. There's a record out there. You can find him saying it. So of course he said it. Of course. So now we're not going to, you know, get into, you know, this particular lie. But is it just the absolute narcissism that he believes whatever comes out of his mouth, or is there some significant mental decline? Maybe does he actually not recall saying it?
The Dury defense. I have the memory of a goldfish.
I think Nemo was the goldfish.
Well, Nemo was a clownfish.
Oh, the clownfish.
Kind of like you. Dory. Dory was the one with the very short-term memory. Kind of like you.
Yeah, I'm Dory.
Fact check, according to CNN, Trump falsely claims he didn't call to lock up Hillary Clinton. Damn, I feel like we could personally fact check this.
We were there.
Former President Donald Trump falsely claimed in an interview that he didn't make a lock her up call for the imprisonment of his Democratic opponent in the 2016 presidential. You remember Hillary Clinton. Trump, who faces the possibility of a prison sentence after he was convicted last week on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records, was asked in an interview that aired Sunday on the Foxy News about how he had famously said, lock her up, in relation to Clinton, but did not jail her when he was the president. He had every intention. They did investigations. They just couldn't find any criminality. During his answer, Trump said he had decided that imprisoning Clinton would have been a terrible thing. Then he ended, I didn't say lock her up, but the people would all say lock her up, lock her up. Yes, they would. They would chant it, and you would bask in the chants, Trump. Now, Trump often used such rhetoric while criticizing Clinton's email practices as Secretary of State during the Obama administration, which prompted a federal investigation. She was never charged with the crime, don't tell James Comey. During campaign rallies in 16, Trump sometimes paused his remarks for his supporters engaged in the chants of lock her up, giving the chants time to continue. On other occasions, he explicitly repeated those words himself. Sorry, my eyes wandering. For what she's done, they should lock her up, Trump said after the crowd chanted, lock her up in an October 16th rally in North Carolina. Lock her up is right, he said in an October 16th rally in Pennsylvania. Trump also explicitly called for Clinton's imprisonment, using differing phrasing. Hillary Clinton has got to go to jail, okay? She has to go to jail, he said in a June speech in California. She has to go to jail, he repeated in an October speech in Florida. And at the presidential debate in October of 16, after Clinton said, it was just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of law in our country, Trump responded, because you'd be in jail. I remember that. He kind of crept up on her, didn't he, Tom?
He was creeping and creeping and creeping. Trump softened his rhetoric shortly after he defeated Clinton in the election, saying he didn't want to lock her up, but and didn't feel strongly about prosecuting her. In his 2020 campaign for re-election, though, he again made calls to lock her up. In 2020, you should lock her up, I tell you, he said, January 2020 rally in Ohio, at an October 2020 rally in Georgia after the crowd chanted, lock them up. In relation to the Biden family, Trump said, you should lock them up, lock up the Bidens, lock up Hillary.
You know, for good measure, even though she's not my opponent this time.
Thank you, CNN, for stating the obvious and articulating the numerous times Donald Trump said lock her up.
I never did. I never said that. Now, other people said that.
If this was Joe Biden, you know what I'm saying? Why is it that the same criticism, the same concerns that make a show over the cognitive abilities of the current president, that's Joe Biden for those on the mega side.
Because he's your guy, libtard.
Well, the convicted felon Donald Trump seems to either be flatly lying and denying the most basic, obviously searchable, easy thing to prove, or he's got some serious cognitive issues. And which of those are better for Trump or the megas? I mean, they're both disqualifying in my mind.
He's a 34-time convicted felon. You think they got a problem with lapsing memories?
Come on, man. You can challenge it. Hey, he got railroaded. He's got appeal. There's still things there. Look, There is no question. Donald Trump said lock her up many, 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 many times. And the guy gets on Fox News and says, never said it. Come on, people. Republicans, are you kidding me?
You probably believe Dr. Fauci as well. You gullible.
Ouchie.
Sheeple.
Is that what I am? I'm so blind by my politics, Curdy. I can't reason for myself.
Party over country. Except for you, it's more like a tequila party.
Just party, man.
Come back with us. We'll talk about the Inquisition of Dr. Fauci today. He was on the Hill. A House hearing. Marjorie Taylor Greene, your girl, she kind of went off.
Lots of talk of decorum today. And if there's something I know a lot about, it's decorum.
Oh, don't you, though? Dom, 24 hours from now, we got a fine guest joining us. Joe Zepecki, Dim Strategist. So, you know, stick around for this show and then come back tomorrow. Be here. Always.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I am having a better day than Dr. Fauci. I mean, who would put themselves through this torturous punishment? I guess he was probably under congressional Republican House subpoena, Dom.
Well, I mean, if you're Jim Jordan, you just ignore it. Why do you give a damn, right? Doesn't matter.
Interesting point you make. Fauci, the headline at the Washington Post, Fauci dismisses preposterous allegations that he led a COVID cover-up. Don't tell three till Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, she had a day, Dom. We'll get to her in a minute. Anthony Fauci defended himself Monday against claims he orchestrated a cover-up of the coronavirus pandemic origins, with the former government official rejecting some allegations as simply preposterous. The prominent infectious disease expert, who served as a senior leader at the National Institute of Health for four decades, you know, until Trump decided he was the bad guy, before leaving government at the end of 2022, said Republicans have distorted emails between himself and other scientists as they discussed whether a laboratory leak of the coronavirus was possible. Here's a quote from Fauci. We spent our whole life trying to determine the causes of infectious diseases and stop them to protect the American people. Slow down! No way!
No, wait. What? I don't buy that. That's just you buying into what the deep state is selling you, man.
Fauci added he did not pressure colleagues to reach a conclusion about the origins of the virus while disputing other Republican charges. The former health advisor to Trump and Biden administrations testified Monday before the House panel investigating the nation's coronavirus response. And the contentious hearing unfolded for 3.5 hours. It came amid a battle between the panel's Republicans and Democratic leaders over whether its focus on Fauci is necessary to understand the virus's possible origins or a waste of time that is propagating unproven theories about the pandemic and damaging confidence in public health.
Oh, see, here we go. So the public health system, the NIH, rigged, right? The justice system, rigged. The electoral system, rigged. Everything's rigged. It's all rigged to them. Somehow, somewhere, there's just, you know, the man pulling the strings, you know, bouncing around like a marionette. That's what we have to believe if you're in the mega cult. That's the way it is. And okay, if you have that, fine. But then shouldn't you have something? What do they call that when you do some detective work, you find evidence, proof of such a thing?
Q told her so, Dom. We've got Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's play Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I want to point out, you know, she's not exactly known for her abundance of intelligence or her decorum, Dom.
She's an immunologist, right?
I'm not talking about Fauci. I'm talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, she's not? I mean, she read something on the internet. You know, and they're all criminal justice experts. They're all immunologists. I mean, as soon as something pops up to defend the Trump, everyone does a Google search and they're all experts on the topic. But yes, we do have some MTG. We're gonna punish the people with that, Rich. Okay, let's do that. Insulting Dr. Fauci. Let's start with, I guess, cut number one.
Do you think that's appropriate? Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor. You're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes. No, I don't need your answer. I want to talk about this right here.
Mr. Chairman, Fauci, objection.
I reclaim my time.
Jeannie
I reclaim
Raskin.
My time. I reclaim my time, Mr. Raskin.
Gentlelady will suspend. Order.
Gentlelady will suspend.
James Comer, Republican chair of the committee, telling Marjorie to basically shut up.
You're not a doctor. You're a mister when I'm addressing you. Decorum, man. Is there no decorum anymore? Where? How far have we fallen when we have to call someone doctor when they're a doctor?
Well, it's interesting. You know, her whole take, you know, it's my time down here. Reminded me of Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know. Would you say it's our time, Mr. Hand? So Marjorie Taylor Greene feels like as long as she's on the clock, anything can go. She can say anything.
Anything goes. Yes, yes.
But the guy has a legal title.
Just in terms of the rules of...
Let's do the next one. Cut two, please. Raskin and MTG.
Mr. Chairman, of order. Just in terms of the rules of decorum, are we allowed to deny that a doctor is a doctor just because we don't want him to be a doctor?
Yes, because in my time, that man does not deserve to have a license. As a matter of fact, it should be revoked, and he belongs in prison.
Gentlelady suspend. The gentlelady should recognize the doctor as a doctor.
Somebody should suspend her GED, Dom.
So, from now on, guys, you can call me Dr. Love. I am officially Dr. Love. Decorum, give me a break. I mean, yes, these are important things to a degree. If we don't have a decorum, then you know the conversation breaks down to three-toed Marjorie yelling at everyone, calling someone names, right? So there, if you're going to try to get some actual governmental business done, there's got to be some extremely low standard of decorum that MTG simply cannot abide.
Rules of the road, if you will, Dom.
Speed up or get out of the way, Crudy. You know how it works, man. That's why I drive.
It was interesting because a black member of the House, Democrat, you know, because there's only the one black Republican member of the House. But anyways, this person basically started questioning, is this what we have devolved into?
Yeah, right.
And Marjorie starts talking about what, the Tuskegee syphilis thing back in the 1920s where black men were basically given syphilis to see what effect it would have. And she's using this as her rationale for why they should be allies, Dom, because she agrees with them, you know, bad to give syphilis to the black men. And also good reason not to trust the government
that she is a part of.
Well, she is an elected leader.
She's part of the good part of the government. Gotcha. I just want to make sure.
The part that doesn't have to call you doctor.
I told you, man.
I'm just going to call you fella.
Fella. Who do we have? Congresswoman Crockett, the bleach blonde. Is that in relation to this as well?
No, I just wanted to remind people what was said about Marjorie Taylor Greene recently. There was a question about personalities.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's
Hold
a
on.
Part
I'm
of it.
I'm trying to find clarification on what quality.
Chairman, I motion to
I
strike
no
those
idea
words.
What you just said.
Bleached, blonde, bad-built, butch body, I believe, is the trademark of Jasmine Crockett from Texas.
It was Jasmine, Rich. That was the first. I thought it was Jocelyn, but Rich was probably right. He just found the sound for us. I just thought we should remind people of the recent happenings in the House. That was precipitated by her, making fun of the fake eyelashes of the representative Jasmine, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. The decorum continues to remain at a very low level.
I'm not calling you doctor because I didn't give you that degree.
And you shouldn't be a doctor. You should not have a license, and you should be in jail, is specifically what the congresswoman said. Now, you know, and granted, the other Republicans, Comer in charge of the committee, shut her down, suspend. But is this the mindset of Marjorie Taylor Greene's constituency? Is this the are they in agreement with the mega crowd? Is this the thing? Should Fauci be in jail? Is that what this is all about? He's no longer in government. The guy's old. He was in 4 decades at NIH. And now they want him in jail. Because why?
Because he misled the American people about standing 6 feet apart during the pandemic. And think about how that set back the educational opportunities. And I mean, this is actually an argument that's being made. That Fauci knew that there wasn't support for 6 feet. There wasn't data to suggest that this was somehow going to create a safe zone around you, but this was the what? Sort of the working plan we had in place for a while, right? Also, according to the Washington Post, Dan Diamond reporting, in a congressional appearance, infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci characterized the recommendation, and again, this was the stay 6 feet apart, as an empiric decision that wasn't based on data. Now, Fauci gave, I think it was 14 hours of closed-door testimony in January. And part of what he said then is they couldn't support this with science. This was just a thing they said. So the nation's top mental health official had spent months asking for evidence behind the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's social distancing guidelines, warning that keeping Americans physically apart during the coronavirus pandemic would harm patients, businesses, and overall health and wellness. Now, Elmore McCants-Katz, the Trump administration's assistant secretary for mental health and substance abuse, was urging the CDC to justify its recommendation that Americans stay 6 feet apart to avoid contracting COVID-19 or get rid of it. I very much hope the CDC, at the time, June of 2020, I very much hope that the CDC will revisit this decision, or at least tell us that there is more and stronger data to support this rule than what I have been able to find online. Again, McCants-Katz wrote this in June of 2020 in a memo to the CDC and other health agency leaders and obtained by the Washington Post. If not, they should pull it back. They did not pull it back, Dom, and there was actually no credible evidence that this did anything for us. Now, the CDC would keep its 6 foot social distance recommendations in place until August of 22, with some modifications as Americans got vaccinated against the virus and officials pushed to reopen schools. Now, congressional investigators are set Monday to press Anthony Fauci, the infectious disease doctor who served as a key coronavirus advisor during the Trump and Biden administrations, on why the CDC's recommendation was allowed to shape so much of American life for so long, particularly given Fauci and other officials' recent acknowledgement that there was little science behind the 6 foot rule after all. Now, I'm not saying this should lead to what we've heard from Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, take his license, don't call him doctor, revoke it. And of course, many have said Fauci should be in jail. But this was not complete and honest disclosure to the American people. And I certainly understand that these healthcare professionals were making decision in real time with the best evidence they had. But was this best evidence? I still remember Fauci early during the pandemic saying it didn't make sense to wear masks, if you recall. And my understanding is he was motivated by the fact that there was a shortage of masks for healthcare professionals. Well, that's a different explanation. It's different to say, hey, these are effective and we need to save them for the healthcare professionals, that's a different piece of advice than Fauci telling the American people that masks would not be effective while leaving this 6-foot protocol in place till August of 22. So, I do have some questions on how these things were arrived at. And you would think, with a million Americans dead, we should want to get to the bottom of some of these policy choices made under both Trump and Biden. But this is so hopelessly buried in politics now. I mean, there is no way I'm ever going to believe that Fauci was trying to mislead the American people to some greater conspiratorial degree as these QAnon practitioners would have you believe.
Oh, man. You gotta tie it back to Trump. You put the 6-foot rule in. You shut down businesses and schools. You crash the economy. You make it very difficult for Donald Trump to get reelected. You're just looking at it wrong. You got to look at it, everything through the eyes of keeping their exalted leader, Donald Trump, in the presidency. Then everything will make sense to you.
Come back, more Devils. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us anytime on or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, I want to read a little bit more from this Fauci piece at the Washington Post. Experts agreed that social distancing saved lives, particularly early in the pandemic when Americans had no protections against a novel virus, sickening millions of Americans. Now, one recent paper published by the Brookings Institute, a nonpartisan think tank, concluded that behavior changes to avoid developing COVID-19, followed later by vaccinations, prevented about 800,000 deaths. But that achievement came at enormous cost, the authors added, with inflexible strategies that weren't driven by evidence. Again, this makes Fauci vulnerable to other criticisms. That's my fear. Well, it's not a fear. It's been realized, Dom. We never did the study about what works, said Andrew Atkinson, a UCLA economist and co-author of the paper, lamenting the lack of evidence around the 6-foot rule. He warned that persistent frustrations over social distancing and other measures might lead Americans to ignore public health advice during the next crisis.
Yes, I don't have that one up, Crudy, but it certainly will. At the end of the day, right? I think you look at this. If you don't assume the mega Trump conspiracy that Fauci was directing and purposefully putting through these different policies in a specific effort to tank the economy, to create angst in American society, and to make it more difficult for Donald Trump to win re-election. If you don't assume that motivation, then you have to assume the guy that spent 40 years at NIH trying to prevent people from getting infected were doing everything they can or could to try to stop and mitigate and slow down the infection, including the fog of war when you're in the middle of it. Now, granted, if there's been study, there were no studies done, well, that should be an issue. How'd you come up with the 6-foot? Was 4 feet not enough and 7 feet was too many? You know, where
literally,
they
thought 10 feet was too much. They thought it would be too hard to implement. So they compromised to 6 feet. But that was not predicated, at least in the reporting I have read, that was not predicated on any science other than like a 1955 study about droplets, you know, coughing droplets. What they did not know at that time is this coronavirus pandemic could live airborne for a number of hours, in fact. So I'm going to read just a little bit more, Dom. The 6-foot rule was really an error that had been propagated for several decades based on a misunderstanding of how particles traveled through indoor spaces, Allen said, adding that health experts often wrongly focused on avoiding droplets from infected people rather than improving ventilation and filtration inside of buildings. Yes, no one wants to smell your neighbor's breath or their coronavirus-infected droplets. And social distancing had champions before the pandemic. Bush administration officials working on plans to fight bioterrorism concluded that social distancing could save lives in a health crisis and renewed their calls as the coronavirus approached. The idea also took hold when public health experts initially believed that the coronavirus was often transmitted by droplets expelled by infected people, which could land several feet away. The CDC later acknowledged the virus was airborne, as we mentioned, and people could be exposed just by sharing the same air in a room, even if they were farther than 6 feet away. Well, that's the scary part. There was no magic around 6 feet, said Robert Redfield, who I often hear on Stephanie Miller's show, who served as the CDC's director during the Trump administration. He told a congressional committee in March of 22, it's just historically that's what was used for other respiratory pathogens. So that really became the first piece of a strategy to protect Americans in the early days of the virus, he said. It also became the standard that states and businesses adopted with swift pressure on holdouts. Lawmakers and workers urged meat processing plants, delivery companies, and other essential businesses to adopt the CDC's social distancing recommendations as their employees continued reporting to work during the pandemic. We did as well, Don, but we did some social distancing, right? We started using the technology. We literally had people like Matt Flynn didn't come to the office for a couple of years, didn't come to the studio, didn't want him there. Not because we don't like Matt, but, you know, wasn't necessary to do his little radio gig, and he didn't need the additional exposure to people like Dom.
844-967-2789. Pat from the east side of Milwaukee, you are up. Welcome, Pat. What do you got for us?
Well, good afternoon. This whole discussion and Marjorie Taylor Greene's ranting is much ado about nothing. Who was he convinced by having to stand 6 feet from each other? Nobody. It's the most inane argument.
Well, Pat, the kids didn't go to school for over a year. My son just graduated. His entire freshman year, they didn't go to school because of the six-foot guideline.
Well, clearly putting 30 kids in a classroom is a bigger danger than standing 6 feet apart in a checkout line or whatever it would be. And so I was all in favor of keeping kids at home until things were sorted out and understood. But all of this complaining about how Fauci was basically just doing whatever was possible to contain the virus is just utter nonsense and further proof of these people's ignorance and gratuitous arguments just for the sake of arguing.
Pat, you just have drank the right Kool-Aid, man.
You're right on, Pat. Thanks for the call.
We appreciate you listening. More Devil's Advocates, more of your calls. A happier, happy hour's coming right now.